This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Their new Justin Fields.
I think it's a younger
Where the game's on
Justin
the line
Fields.
In Cleveland and he comes in to throw a pass in a blizzard.
I would probably say realistically fourth or fifth round is where I would start looking at them.
And so who would be your quarterback of choice there, McCord?
They could do worse than McCord. For as much as it was hilarious to watch him against Pitt and just like the instant gratification I got from watching just bizarre pick after bizarre pick, the guy did stand there as a true pocket quarterback and sling it for Syracuse for the majority of the year. I'm not going to be a total hater.
With a bad line, he led college football in yards, but he also led college football on interceptions.
Well, the reason why I think he might be off their table, relatively speaking, is because Tomlin probably looks at that interceptions and crumples up the paper and says, next. When's Shuck going to go? Does anybody have a sense of when he's actually going to go as a 26-year-old rookie?
So
I feel like opinions are very
they are. So
all
Matt,
over the
board. So Matt Miller from ESPN, who I've tried to get on the show but has told me I need to talk to his PR person at ESPN, and I'm like, I hate going through middlemen here, so we probably won't have him. We do have Mike Renner in 15 minutes, who I think is great, from CBS, and he used to work for PFF, and he was also a contestant on American Idol, on The Bachelor.
The Bachelorette.
Yes, he was on The Bachelorette. Thank you. So Matt Miller ranked 600 players today in ESPN.
What an exercise.
I only looked at the top 100. I didn't print out 50 pages. So he does not have a quarterback in his top 10. He's got Cam Ward at 14, and he compares him to Jordan Love. He has Sanders at 25. But this is interesting to me because this doesn't make sense. Player comp to Shedeur Sanders. Jared Goff. If I'm telling you right now that you're going to get Jared Goff with the 21st pick, you make that move if you're the Steelers. If my next Steelers quarterback is Jared Goff, the dude's played in a Super Bowl in L.A., and he's played in an NFC Championship game with the Lions. I'll take that guy. Now,
isn't the problem that if the player comp is really Jared Goff, he should go in the top couple of picks? Because Goff went number one, and when he's protected and in system and in rhythm, looks like a guy who was like a top overall pick.
I said this.
I mean, he cooks people when he's got the right setting around him.
I said this about Sanders months ago on my podcast, and I got some feedback of people loving it, and I got others basically saying, you don't know ball. I said the first time I saw Sanders play, he reminded me of Matt Ryan. And I'm like, yeah, people, stop. Like, we don't always have to comp a slow white dude to another slow white dude, okay? Like,
you're saying we can make cross-racial
yes.
comps
not
for
every,
players.
Yes. Cam Scadabo doesn't have to be Mike Alstott or Peyton Hillis, okay? We're allowed to change how yes. a guy looks, okay? And Sanders' pocket demeanor and the way he throws the ball reminds Matt Ryan never struck me as a guy that had the biggest arm. He wasn't Joe Flacco, and he wasn't an athlete like Ben. He was almost like a knockoff generic version of Brady. That's how I always thought of him. And that's kind of what Goff is. And that's what I think Sanders is. So that's why I've said I want Sanders with the 21st pick if he's there.
Here's another player. I think Goff's got a better arm, I would guess. This guy had a
I agree with you on that. He's got smaller hands than Sanders,
well,
though.
No. I wasn't even going to say that. Of the player I was going to think of as a comp, where it's accurate arm, not really a runner, good pocket presence, but like the arm strength holds him back. Pennington had a notoriously weak arm. I don't think that's fair, probably, to Sanders. I mean, wasn't it that Pennington had a noodle arm?
Well, Pennington also had like 9 shoulder surgeries, and it wasn't great to begin with, and it kept getting worse and worse, and he just turned into a checkdown
specialist.
Size-wise,
though, Pennington was, what, about 6'2", 6'3"?
Yeah.
Goff's also kind of a bigger guy. He's like every bit of 6'4", closer to 6'5".
Yeah, he is.
So I would almost look at Pennington, but Pennington was a first-round pick.
Picked over Brady. Jackson Dart comes in at 37 on this list. His comp is Bo Nix. If I told you that the Steelers were getting Bo Nix with pick 21, would you do it?
You're giving me... See, I know that you already know how my brain is going to filter through this. And so you know I'm going to say, yeah, in theory, that's pretty good because Bo Nix looked pretty
Donnie,
good last
would you?
Year. But they're not going to have Sean Payton coaching him. They're going to have Mike Tomlin hands at 10-2 on the steering wheel while Arthur Smith tries to work within those parameters.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with everything you said there, but if you're just saying, hey, you're going to get Bo Nix, based on what we saw from Bo Nix, yeah.
That's a better, simpler, straightforward answer.
So would I.
They're comparing him because Nix is known as a good athlete with a good arm, a very lively arm, and that's what Dart has.
Then you have to go all the way down to 73 on his list to find the next quarterback, and that's Shuck.
What's the comp there?
He does not. Once he gets out of the top 50, he did not put comps on
Forrest
guys.
Forrest Gump with all the knee surgeries and stuff.
Chris Winkie.
Well, I mean, he's got the raw tools. What is he? 6'5", 220, can move, but it's just the injury history is red flag after red flag. Where does he have Milroe?
I was just going to get to that next. Milroe is 82.
I think the team that drafts him has to have an incredibly open mind about how they use him. I mean, the master class for a guy that was recently drafted within the last couple of years to Milroe is Malik Willis. And when he got to the Packers, they actually had like a very sharp...
I thought he looked good there this year, man.
Yeah, they had a sharp game plan for him that let him
run
it.
Much to my chagrin as a Kenny guy from that draft,
they
I thought
gave
he looked
him
very good.
His two, I think, what did he make, 2 starts, Pony?
Yeah, he came in... he actually didn't come in at the end of the... he did for the last play of the Eagles game.
But then
he played
the
next two
and
they won.
He balled out, dude. He looked great.
Ran the ball tremendously.
He threw it too, though. They had like stuff that he liked in the passing game.
Will Howard, 85, so just a couple spots below Milroe, and then McCord, 90. So he's got...
What's the knock on McCord, generally speaking? The interceptions is one thing, but like not a great athlete, right? I mean, just kind of...
Kind of a slower delivery, like a Byron Leftwich.
And doesn't have the howitzer that...
Good arm. I mean, I wouldn't say great.
Leftwich, though, could throw a ball through like bulletproof glass.
I'll say this about him, having watched every single one of his games at Syracuse last year. Given the troubles of their offensive line... He stood in there, and he made plays, even under duress, that were downfield and were accurate throws.
Did you watch him and feel like the throws he was making were NFL translatable throws?
Yes. Yeah, but the issue with, like, you know how you will bring up sometimes with Tristan Jarry? Like, for 9 shots, he'll look like the best goalie in the league, and then the 10th shot, that was McCord's problem, I thought.
I mean, I rip Tomlin and say he's too obsessive about this, but as you say that, it gives me like the...
Like, I would say almost once a game, there was a moment where I would think to myself, what was... Now, in the Pitt game, it happened about 9 times.
What was he thinking?
But just about every game, I would be like, what went through his mind there? Why did he try to force the ball in there?
What did he think was there that wasn't?
And if that's happening in college, that's only going to get worse when the game speeds up in the NFL. So... Guys who throw a lot of interceptions in college scare me.
Well, that's the same thing for me with sacks. You take a lot of sacks in college, I think you're probably going to take a lot of sacks in the pros.
But I almost think the sacks are more... I'd rather have a guy take a sack. I know you're... I mean, it's still like basically a loss of possession. But I'd rather have somebody take a sack and live to fight another day than just give the ball to the other team.
Can I offer then this counterpoint? If you're throwing a ball that ends up as an interception, one, they're not all created equal.
Right.
Some of them are tip balls, but like there's an attempt being made to make a play at least by the offense. If you get sacked, you never have an actual chance.
Well, you have the next play.
Unless it's third down.
Right.
And if you get sacked for, like, say, a 12-yard loss on second and eight, then third and 20 might as well be a punt because it's very low percentage.
Yeah, but I feel like Roethlisberger early in his career would take a ton of sacks and be third and 17, and here comes his friggin' Houdini act. Here comes his play where he just breaks the back of the other team, where it's like he just pulled that rabbit out of his ass again.
Well, I know watching games, that was like a frequent color commentator talking point. Let's see here. He took 30 sacks in 13 starts his first year. How would you rate that?
That's a lot, dude.
23 sacks in 12 starts the next year. Here's when he started taking them.
Well, that's actually not like Fields has taken 40, almost 50 sacks a year.
From 06 through 09, are you ready for these Ben sack stats?
Go ahead.
46, 47, 46, and a league-leading 50. That's when, like, when he, I think, started to feel like, all right, I'm coming into my own as
that's
a passer.
Scott Arians fired.
I'm going to make things happen. That's when I think he started.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates. From all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building
a life. For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
Fan Hotline's presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Our next guest is one of the best NFL draft analysts, one of my all-time favorites. He's personable, he's insightful, he's opinionated. His podcast with Kyle Long. Howie Long's son, former NFL offensive lineman, very popular, Pushing the Pile. You can find that on just about every platform where people listen to audio, including the Odyssey app, where we are. I'm talking about Mike Renner back with us here on 93.7 The Fan. All right, Mike, as you know, the Steelers have the 21st pick. What do you think is an ideal draft night scenario for them at pick 21?
I go back and forth because obviously quarterback is the most glaring need on this roster, right? And I think there's a real shot of Shedeur Sanders falling to, if not pick 21, somewhere where they can go up and trade and go get him if they really want him. But I think if you're going to sign Aaron Rodgers, you're going to try to win now. And to me, someone like one of these cornerbacks, like a Jahdae Barron or a Will Johnson falling to you, to me feels like the best win now scenario, like that gives you the best chance of next season competing for a championship. So I think I lean towards the latter in that scenario, just because I don't have that high a grade on Shador, quite frankly. Like I think he's the day two sort of pick. And I think, you know, him versus the next quarterback off the board, whoever it's going to be, is not going to be that big a difference.
Yeah, Mike, I'm looking at your draft that you posted a couple hours ago, and I got to be honest, man, I'm super bummed just seeing the caption you wrote. Call it a slide if you want, but this is where most people I've talked to see Sanders as a talent. The Steelers' desperation outweighs that of any other team in this area. I hate it, Mike, because it's extremely true, and it rings with the sound of truth to me when I read it out loud.
Yeah, I mean, it just feels like the Kenny Pickett take all over again, right?
Oh,
like,
wonderful.
It's not where you usually get quarterbacks. It's not where quarterbacks usually, like, you don't get the guy. The guy that slides more often than not slides for a reason.
Let me ask you this then. Mike, let me ask you this then. Like, better value pick, obviously, knowing what the player is and where I'm suggesting the Steelers would get them or get the player. Sanders at 21, or if Milroe was there at 83 and they took him as, granted, a project, but took a guy with that running ability at 83?
I'm not a Milroe believer, but I think he at least has a floor with that running ability. So I'd probably say Milroe at 83 is a better value pick, because I think, like, his backup plan is he could be your starting running back and maybe be like an elite running back at the NFL level still.
Mike, who are the quarterbacks you believe in this draft other than Cam Ward? Let's rule him out because he's unavailable to the Steelers.
I mean, there's none, right? That's kind of just the nature of this class, unfortunately. It's just not a good year to need one. It ain't last year. Last year's class, I was raving about it. I would tell everyone, it's just like, just take one of these guys. I think, like, this is a uniquely special class. This year, I just do not feel similarly. I don't think it's bereft of talent. Like, I think there could be starters that emerge from this draft. It's just there's no one who has high-end tools. So, like, there's no one who, to me, emerges as, like, a top 10 quarterback outside of Cam Ward. It feels like you could get a guy who maybe becomes a Brock Purdy. You could get a guy who maybe becomes, like, an average to below average. I could see that in the future of some of these guys. But there's just no high-end sort of traits outside of Jalen Milroe, who you just noted.
Mike, then the companion question I have to that statement by you is something we've been kicking around here, and it's the subject of a lot of debate because, frankly, none of us know, at least in theory, how much better is next year's quarterback crop in 26 when the draft will be here in Pittsburgh than this class that you just described right now?
I think it should be considerably better. I think there's at least a couple guys who I feel good about being, you know, top 10 to 15 picks. And then usually someone comes out of nowhere, right? Cam Ward was not thought of as a top 10 to 15 pick before this year. So you'll get two guys that I really like at the top and then probably even one or two more after that. So I think it's going to be a much, much better class. Just based off of averages, it should be, you know, the past 5 years, it should be a better class.
What about, though, trying to factor in the uncertainty that NIL has created where you're not positive that X, Y, or Z of these underclassmen at the position, let's say Arch Manning has a great year next year and looks like a presumptive number one pick, but he's making so much money at Texas that, I'll just stay and do what Uncle Peyton did. Like, what's the deal there?
That is, honestly, for my job, I think it makes it easier to scout these guys. They stay longer. You get more tape on them. It's better for the scouting community to know, you know, have more known products for guys to stay longer. But it does for teams, you know, at the top. Like, if NIL wasn't a thing, maybe Drew Aller would have come out already and could have been a potential first rounder out of Penn State. You know, and obviously the tape wasn't elite, but, like, his tools are. So I do think that's always a worry. But to me, Arch Manning didn't go to Texas to start right away, right? He's chased the NFL from every decision he's made. So I think once he gets that shot, if he is the presumptive number one, it would surprise me if he goes back to school.
Mike, Steelers and defensive tackle has been something that's been put together here and gets linked a lot. They brought a bunch of these guys in for visits. They scouted them at the Senior Bowl. So among the guys that are probably going to be there at 21, Derek Harmon from Oregon, Walter Nolan from Ole Miss, Kendrick Grant from Michigan. Who do you think would make the most sense for the Steelers in that scenario?
I love Derek Harmon. He feels like a Steelers sort of defensive lineman, almost like a Stephon Tuitt with his length, with his size, just a power player. I think he's the best defensive tackle in this draft class, outside of Mason Graham. Sorry, Mason Graham's not going to be there after that. He's a top 12 guy on my board. I don't see a lot of edge rushers in this class even better than him, even though it's supposed to be a great edge rushing class. I really like Harmon's tape. I just think he is what an NFL defensive tackle, like a Pro Bowl sort of defensive tackle, looks like. So I'd honestly be surprised if he falls to 21 at this point. That's just my eval on him, and maybe he does. And if he does, I think that would be a home run pick.
Interested, Mike, to get your take then on Walter Nolan, just because we've seen blurbs about him that compare some of his tape favorably to Jalen Carter, which of course has us swooning here in Pittsburgh. What do you see about him that has him behind Harmon for you among defensive linemen?
They're neck and neck. I love those two guys. To me, I think both are going to be great NFL players. I see actually a clear tier between them and Kenneth Grant, the Michigan defensive tackle. I would much rather have the first two mentioned there. Nolan's just more of a three tech. Why I mentioned him, maybe not necessarily being Steelers fit. They haven't traditionally, you know, utilized that role, just utilized that body type of like the undersized defensive tackle, because he is like 290. He is like an upfield first step kind of guy. But man, is he explosive. And you see his ability to unlock his hips. I think that's what gets compared to Jalen Carter. That's what makes him so special. But just like that ability to throw everything he has into contact and then just toss off at the lineman aside. You see it repeatedly. He was a five-star, and like this past year, really, really turned it on. So he has more physical tools and like high-end potential than Harmon, whereas Harmon's just kind of like what you see is what you get, and what you see is already pretty darn good.
Amarian Hampton from North Carolina came to the Steelers on a visit. Is he so good that you have to consider it at 21, or is the depth at running back so deep where they're better off waiting at that position, Mike?
After Ashton Dempsey, I just think this offensive, or this running back class is so good that I don't think the value is there. Now, like, he's going to be good. I think he's a better prospect than Najee Harris was coming out. He's at least more dynamic and more for the modern NFL game in terms of what he can do out in space as a receiver. And he runs just so hard. He's built for the NFL, too. So, but to me, yeah, he's a sure-ish thing at the position. Running back's probably a little bit easier to scout than other positions. But there's a lot of sure things. There's probably like a dozen guys in this class that would have been top five backs in last year's class. I just don't see the need when the guy you're getting in the third round might not be too dissimilar to an Amarian Hampton, whereas if you attack DT in the third round versus DT in the first round, it's just going to be a completely different athlete.
Mike, we also are still talking about wide receivers here with pick 21, just because there's uncertainty about whether or not the Steelers even want to keep George Pickens around or whether they might be looking to deal him. I give you these three wide receivers. Tell me who you like most to least in order. Golden from Texas, Ibuka from Ohio State, or Luther Burden from Missouri?
I go back and forth on the order of these guys because, to me, it's what you want. They're just such vastly different skill sets. I think Burden's the most talented. I think he also tried the least on tape last year. Like, if you're trying to replace George Pickens, he's probably not where I'm going. So for the Steelers specifically, like, you know, maybe like another team that can like take a shot and has, you know, on a guy like that, maybe. But like for the Steelers, if you're getting rid of George Pickens, this isn't the guy you want to bring in right away. It's just, he has the same sort of effort concerns and like up and down play to play concerns. Ibuka is like the opposite. Ibuka does not have the physical gifts that Luther Burden does, but he is extremely reliable and extremely intelligent. The guy's going to be where he needs to be. He runs great routes. You know, if you have Aaron Rodgers back there, quarterback, they'll get rapport from day one. So that would be a guy that if you really are looking to move out George Pickens, he can make an immediate impact. And then Golden's just kind of like an all-around route runner. I honestly see him more as like a second-round sort of guy. It's just historically, like last year, I think he would have been a second-round sort of guy. I just don't see anything special about him. And like, he didn't produce that much at Texas either. Like, he hasn't had a 1,000-yard season yet, although he is still young. So that's just kind of how I see those three. Again, like, none of them are slam dunk top 20 picks, though. That, like, if they're on the board, that you're for sure going for them. It's just kind of a meh, a lot of second-round sort of wide receivers this year.
Do you see Travis Hunter as a corner or a wide receiver?
I see him as a wide receiver. You just
interesting.
Look at how much the positions are getting paid, and you just look at how good he is. I mean, the guy guy doesn't drop passes. Like, he has some of the best ball skills I've ever seen from a prospect, regardless of position. And now, obviously, that's great on defense, too. You know, a lot of those PBUs will turn to picks for him. But it's also great on offense because you're getting, like, 150 chances to show off those ball skills. So, to me, he compares, you know, he's probably not as good as, like, Malik Nabers, Marvin Harrison Jr. were last year's prospects, but I would have taken him over Rome Odunze, just at pure like, wide receiver. And if that's the case, like, the top 10 wide receivers get all paid more than the top one cornerback in the league. So you play him at wide receiver because you're saving more money that way.
Would you attempt, if you were running a team that drafted him, to get like to have him play legitimately both ways, that there was X number of snaps at each position built into every game plan for him?
I'd be interested. So obviously I think a lot of people are saying corner because that's easier, right? It's easier to know a few routes to run at wide receiver and get on the field. Whereas at defense, if you're moonlighting on defense, you got to know the whole playbook still. There's no like, let's create a package on defense for a corner. It's like, that just doesn't make sense. So that's why people are saying that. But I still think that like he can learn a red zone. You know, he can be in your red zone defenses, and I think he'd be a huge value add in that area of the football field. Shoot, he was at Colorado. That's where his ball skills and the instincts really shine the most, in my opinion. So I think that's probably where I would feature him, is red zone defense and then starting at wide receiver.
CBS Sports draft analyst Mike Renner on April 14th, 10 days out. He has the Steelers selecting Shedeur Sanders, quarterback, Colorado, in the first round. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it, man. Good to catch up with you, buddy.
For sure. Thanks much for having me. Have a good one.
See ya.
That was one of my favorite draft conversations we've had in a while. I enjoyed that.
It's not his forte because it's draft, but thinking of the Steelers as a win-now team with Aaron Rodgers intrigued me. Like, let's draft a corner because they can compete for a championship. You know?
Yeah, I just don't.
But the thing that he's doing there is he's applying their
thinking, their own rubric,
and he's
yeah.
right about that.
No, I know.
Like, he could see them.
But it is interesting to hear him say, like, yeah, another defensive position after they continue to spend in every way, paying guys, drafting guys on that side of the ball. That also presupposes that George Pickens ain't going anywhere, by the way, in that hypothetical.
Why do you say that? Oh.
Because if you were going to subtract George Pickens from your offense, that's a win-now offense, you damn well better replace him with, I would think, one of the more premium wide receiver picks.
You buy Saloni's Italian Bread Company, over 100 years of baking experience. Hit it, Don.
The debrief, April 14, 2025. Tom Brady teasing that he may be at WrestleMania 41 this weekend. It is in Las Vegas. And, of course, he now has the obvious tie to that stadium. He said, I may be there. It's amazing what's going on and amazing what's happening with WWE and all the different things surrounding that.
He knows nothing. He couldn't pick one of these dudes out of a police lineup.
I mean, maybe John Cena and The Rock.
Maybe Stone Cold if he saw him.
He definitely knows The Rock.
Well, The Rock's
I bet you they run in similar
star.
Circles,
yeah.
And plus he does the UFL stuff now.
The Rock is one of the most famous people on planet Earth.
But, like, if you send him a down-the-liner, if you were like, hey, if you introduced him to Rhea Ripley but didn't say who she was to him, absolutely zero chance he gets it right.
Donnie, can you name the quarterback the Steelers drafted in the 2000 draft ahead of Tom Brady?
T. Martin.
T, my favorite.
Where
Martin.
Did he go to college?
Tennessee.
What did he do at Tennessee?
Won a national title when Manning couldn't.
Yes, I knew you knew that, Malzi. I was quizzing Donnie on that.
Throwing a touchdown in the title game, too?
I don't know.
Peerless Price caught one.
Yes,
I believe
that's
in that
right.
game. Against?
This is before Donnie's time watching
Come on,
sports.
You can do this, big dog. I know you got this one in you.
Nah, I don't know who they played.
Florida State. Quarterbacked by?
Was that the Winky era?
Yep.
Was that after Peter Warwick's time?
No, he was on
that
the team.
That would have been that last year, his last year there.
I think Peerless Price was one of my favorite
no,
names.
No, Warwick was
kid.
On the team the next year, too, when they
oh,
beat Virginia
yeah.
Tech.
That's right, with Vic. Did that Tennessee team have Joey Kent at wide receiver? Does that name ring a bell?
Not really.
It doesn't?
Not off the top of my head. I'm sure you'll look it up and you'll be right about it.
Why are you sure about that? You're the one with the crazy
memory.
Because
I feel like
memory.
You only say those things when you know you're right and you phrase it that way
wrong.
So you get more credit when you're
but
right.
But I was wrong. He was on the Tennessee teams prior to that.
Who is the Steelers version of Tom Brady? Who is their best
late round pick? I mean, can we go undrafted free agent here?
No.
I think Antonio Brown makes an argument, but he didn't win a title until he was with Brady.
Man, it almost feels like we'd have to.
How about Mike Webster?
Is that back when their draft had million rounds?
Like round what to the finish?
I was going
to
say like
round five.
What do you consider? I consider the fifth round pick a late round pick.
Okay, well, then
if I was using shorthand in a headline and somebody traded a fifth round pick for a player, I would say that player got traded for a late round pick.
Okay, yeah, I didn't know where you cut off like mid round pick.
Well, to me, late round is sixth or seventh. Back then, fifth round was a mid round pick because they had 17 rounds.
Well, that's true.
If it was anything, yeah, it was an early round pick.
I guess back then, you're right. I didn't think about it in that context.
With an early round pick,
yeah, they got an early bargain on Mike Webster. If Octavius Morgan or Larry Moore, the 437th player picked in that draft, Frank Kolch, who could forget him at pick 333?
All right, so sixth round and later, then. You think the answer is Antonio Brown?
They picked a guy named Hugh Lickis.
If we say it's got to be round six or later and they can't be an undrafted free agent, then yeah.
AB, I think, is a pretty good one there. I'm looking at guys that they've picked late. So
Brett Kiesel, seventh rounder. That 2002 draft.
Aaron Smith is a great late round pick, too.
How about Kelvin Beecham?
No, because he barely played for the Steelers, Chris.
Four seasons. Started two of them.
I'm sorry. That's not really putting yourself in the Antonio Brown stratosphere,
man. What a career he's had, though. My man's still playing.
Can either of you, do both of you have Pro Football Reference
right
now?
I don't have
it
pulled up.
So Antonio Brown in the 2010 draft was the second to last player they picked in that draft. Can you name the one player they took after him? Pick 242, I'm not going to say anymore, seventh round pick. Can either of you name the guy?
In what draft? In the 2010?
In the AB draft, he was the second to last player they as a team picked.
Is that like a Frank Summers?
No, I absolutely love the guess. He was
Doug Worthington.
It was Doug Worthington, you sick freak. You absolute psycho.
Summers around that time?
I actually want him to have Pro Football Reference up, and he just pulled a fast one there. Because if he just casually said Doug Worthington, that makes me want to vomit. It does.
Listener points out LC Greenwood was a 10th round pick.
That's a pretty good one. How many rounds was the draft?
I'm sorry, I think that's ahead of AB.
Yeah.
He's a borderline Hall of Famer, just like, Antonio Brown probably won't get in.
AB's one of the five best receivers I've ever seen, though. Like, the problem with him is it ended so badly and there was no title to burnish his resume here. Kicker Chris Brown.
How long was LC Greenwood with the Steelers for?
That's a good question that I don't know the answer
13 years. 69 to 81.
He's got all four.
Yeah.
I think that's a better pick. It's later.
It's where you're getting. That's almost like. I'm not going to quibble over this. It is still almost a mid round pick back then, the way they did this. But yeah, it's 10th round.
Well, I just phrased it as if we do six rounds and later.
Well, here's the better way to, I think,
Pro Bowl, two All Pro, four time Super Bowl, all 70.
Here's the better way to adjudicate this. What pick overall were they in their draft? Forget about round. 237 players got picked before LC Greenwood. That's more than AB. I think that's the way to do it in the era of, oh my God, we're picking so many people. Like,
yeah.
Ken Liberto in that draft was probably a favor to somebody. You know what I mean? They got random dudes in these drafts that are probably like Art Rooney, just like, your buddy played football somewhere?
Do you know how Bill Walsh found Jerry Rice? The 49ers are getting ready to play a game in Houston against the Oilers, and he turned on local TV on a Saturday.
Mississippi Valley
And they were
State.
Showing highlights of a Mississippi Valley State game against some like SWAC school that was close to Houston. And he's like, I feel like this guy would fit our offense.
Else he probably never gets noticed.
That's how he got.
Well, the story there, wasn't the story that Dallas wanted him? Like, they were the only other team that seemed to know about Jerry Rice. Didn't they jump Dallas?
Can either of you just imagine for a second a player who is the best ever at his position being in an environment, like a media environment, where nobody even knew about him?
He was considered the third best wide receiver in that class. There was Al Toon from Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And there was downtown Eddie Brown from Miami, who was Bernie Kosar's receiver. And Al Toon was the first receiver that came off the right. But that was the first time Walsh watched him. And Al Toon went to the Jets. And Walsh got nervous, and he traded up with the Patriots from 28 to 16. But then he didn't think that he was going to be able to get Brown or Rice at 16. So he called the Bengals to try to move up to 13 to get Brown originally is who he wanted. But the problem was Sam Weish was the coach in Cincinnati, and Weish had worked for Walsh, and it was the same offense. And Weish was like, I know who you want. You want Brown with this pick. I'll only trade you this pick if you throw in a third-round pick with your first. And Walsh said, no, I'll only give you a fifth. So Walsh like slammed down the phone and said, well, I guess we'll have to settle for Jerry Rice. We're not getting that pick.
Jeez. Man, his first, I can't even say it's a couple, his first 12 years in the league are just absurd.
He's the greatest wide receiver of all time, and it's not close.
I know it's not close. Just looking at the numbers is stupefying. Back, and especially considering for the era there, really the whole time, maybe in the 90s, people started to have really sophisticated passing games.
I mean, what a flex it's got to be for Pittsburgh's own Mark Bulger to say that he was a quarterback that was drafted ahead of Tom Brady in that 2000 draft, right?
Isn't that also, though, like, you don't, you wear it as a badge of, like, honor. It's fun to tell at parties, but it's also like, yes, the implicit suggestion there is obviously he's the greatest ever to play the game, and I, by comparison, was not that good.
But it is yeah, I guess, but
Bulger
also
was a solid NFL quarterback.
But also Tom Brady is, like, up at night thinking of Mark Bulger, and it's, like, motivating him to be the greatest football player of all time.
Tom Brady had pictures glued to the ceiling of every quarterback taken ahead of him.
Spurgeon win.
We have just throw a football at them.
We have a good late submission from people on the text line. Andy Russell.
Yeah, he was like, what, a 15th or 16th
that's
round
a,
pick?
Okay, that's a true round. That's a true late round pick. You want to know how many people were taken ahead of Andy Russell? He was the, oh, wait a minute. This was so far back, Donnie. He
weren't
was only the
teams.
220th pick, yeah. So actually, LC Greenwood had more players taken before him.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.